Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. No change today on federal interest rates, Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
We've covered a lot of ground, and the full effects of our tightening have yet to be felt.
The move comes after nearly a dozen increases. CBS's Jason Brooks has more.
The Fed is content to leave the federal funds rate at a range of 5.25% to 5.5% for the next 2 months, as it takes time to assess the impact of high rates on inflation and the economy. Worries over high inflation persist at the central bank, and it's still forecasting the possibility of one more quarter-point rate hike before the end of the year.
Climate change is the big focus today at the United Nations. Femi Naomi Mataafa is the Prime Minister of Samoa.
Make no mistake, the storm is gaining strength. It is our responsibility as leaders to secure a resilient and prosperous future for our people.
This year alone, the U.S. set a record for natural disasters, 23 so far, and it's still September. President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met today on the sidelines of the new UN.
At the start of the meeting, President Biden said the two would be tackling some of the tough issues.
Upholding democratic values that lie at the heart of our partnership, including checks and balances in our systems.
Perhaps a reference to Israel's controversial judicial overhaul, which has sparked protests over that very issue.
That's CBS's Linda Kenyon reporting. In Washington,
our job is to pursue justice without fear or favor.
Attorney General Merrick Garland's taking some heat from House Republicans over how the DOJ's handled some high-profile cases. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
Republicans are alleging that there has been preferential treatment in the Hunter Biden criminal investigation. In the words of the Republican chairman, he said the fix is in. And during the testimony, they pointed to this failed plea agreement and the fact that a federal judge in Delaware found the terms of the agreement were defective and some without any legal precedent.
Today's the 12th anniversary of the military's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But there are new efforts now to correct wrongful discharges. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Many veterans say they have been wrongly denied benefits over the years. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks.
We are announcing that DOD will, for the first time, begin proactively reviewing the military records of veterans discharged because of their sexual orientation.
If your kid plays Fortnite, you could get a refund. Epic Games has to pay $37 million in penalties for violating children's privacy. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. With kids back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Make Exergen thermometer the chosen thermometer for your home or business to check for fever, where accuracy matters. When measuring temperature at home and at work, use an Exergen thermometer to keep your family and your colleagues safe. Available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Wisconsin decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
I could see a scenario where Trump squeaks by again. Will people on the left be willing to accept that?
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, September 21st. In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in the courthouse in Room 114. The Golden Sand Resource Conservation and Development Council, Incorporated, will have the following meetings at the River Block Building in Room 206. The Finance Personnel Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The Water Resource Committee will meet at 10:15, as well as the Forestry, Agriculture, and Wildlife Committee, and the Regular Business Executive Committee will meet at 11. The Wisconsin Rapids Auxiliary Police will be hosting a Broad Fry this Saturday. Stop by the Crossview Church parking lot at 1000 East Riverview Expressway from 11 to 3 on September 23rd and enjoy a broad. Come support this nonprofit volunteer organization. They go above and beyond to support our community. Stop down on September 23rd from 11 to 3. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 57. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 81. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 20th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to speak with Elisa Golan, Wood County Health Department's own. We're going to talk about Wisconsin Winds and the Patch Program. Looking forward to talking with Elise. We always look forward to this time of month. We get to speak with our good friend, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good to see you, sir.
Good morning, James. Good to see you.
Always good to have you in studio to be able to talk, hang out. We appreciate the time, as always, sir. I wanted to ask right away, we got a couple of things to talk about today, but first up, this time of year, changing into the fall season, what is one of your favorite parts of the city this time of year with the changing of the colors and everything? For me, I love going down Rosencrantz. It's just a back road that I don't even know how much gets used, but the canopy of the trees and everything, I just love that street.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. That's probably my favorite part is the changing of the trees and the colors. And ironically, it's amazing that there's trees that have already lost their leaves. And it's kind of been an odd season. But yeah, I agree with you. Those are my favorite.
Special shout out to the Fireman's Memorial, that area too. That's where I usually do my walks and my running. And I just, it's so beautiful this time of year, the way it's developing. Encourage you to check out our parks, our great walking areas. Not a better time a year to do it, if you ask me, than this time of year.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
Speaking of our area and how things are developing and going, how's construction going? Wanted to start there. When I talked to listeners about it and from what I've seen, everything has been going really smooth, going way back to the beginning of summer with this. Is that the case for you and what you're behind the scenes?
Yeah, the crews that are out working have done an amazing job, and the weather has been very favorable for construction, and they're just plugging right along, and fantastic.
Do the foremen, do the people have to pinch themselves sometimes? Because I'm from a construction life, and you don't get times like this very often.
No, you don't.
The weather, not only the budget, but everything kind of working in order for this to all take place, for it to work so well.
Yeah. The stars are aligned right.
Yeah.
And we got to take the little wins when we can get them. But
absolutely,
they've done a fantastic job in keeping things moving and going. And Oak Street was a huge project, and over on the east side, and waiting to do some more asphalt there, but that's really come along well, and it's a nice road.
We can talk about the timing of the year or budget or a lot of those things falling into place. None of this happens without those incredible workers, appreciate the work that they do. And I always like to remind people to slow down, keep an eye out for them. They're just trying to do their job. If you were in your office and a car came flying by all of a sudden, it'd be pretty tough to work around.
Exactly.
Keep that in mind when they're out there doing their thing.
Yeah, I agree. And, with our work crew is we do a lot of our own construction here. And so we have a construction crew that does a lot of our road work, and along with water and light, and they do their part. But they do a fantastic job. And I think because they are our construction crew and not an outside contractor coming in, I'll put their quality of work up against anybody.
It also means something to have local workers, to have local workers there and being able to do this work. Certainly goes a long way for us, and we love that. We like supporting and giving work to our local people.
Yeah, and I think there's more pride in it.
Yeah. Oh, well said. Yes, mm-hmm. you're so right about that. Speaking of construction, when it comes to future projects, are there anything in the works right now that you guys are planning? Anything big that is on the up, maybe coming up next summer or next spring, I should say?
Yeah, there are definitely a number of projects next spring, and off the top of my head, I don't remember what
they
are.
That's all right.
We're kind of going through the budget process right now, and so I don't remember which projects are the big projects for next year. But
I know A Street is the one that's on a lot of people's minds, and I know you and I have talked endlessly about this, but it has been a little bit since we've touched the subject. Yeah. For those wondering, you know, what's happening with that, that's not necessarily all in our hands.
No, that's actually with state, and so they're state engineers, and I saw an email, I think it was yesterday, that they are actually in the design portion. They've kind of progressed to that point of the design portion of A Street from basically Whitrock to the Nebco Hill. So that is in the design phase, and I'm sure there'll be more discussions and maybe some public hearings on it and getting some feedback and asking for the city's feedback on some of those designs. But that's actually progressing.
Really good to hear. any movement at all, I feel like, is good to hear on that. I
couldn't agree more.
And it's nice to know, too, how on point you've been with this, that this is something that you've been keeping your eye on, that you've been trying to keep the pulse of, and certainly keep the people that are making these decisions, keep them on point with this.
Yeah, I try to be the squeaky wheel. So,
right on.
What you've got to do, and you've... That's the way, and in my position here, that's my job. I is to advocate really hard for things, and our citizens here in Wisconsin Rapids pay state tax dollars, and I think it's their responsibility to take care of their responsibilities in a timely manner. And I think, we see construction all over the state, and I think some of our state roads in our town need a little attention, and it's time.
When it comes to construction and these different topics, it kind of leads me to think of the mill. And when we get together, while there usually isn't new information about it, it is important, I think, for our audience, for us to touch on the subject. And as I imagine, not a whole lot changing with the mill issue.
Yeah, so I've heard there's an intent to purchase, but I don't know what that's going to totally involve. I've had communications with the president of Billet Roots North America, trying to advocate for it, but it's tough. It's tough. It's been idle now for a while. You can hope, but you just don't know.
Well, there's this kind of I think that one thing that we, because I'm a big believer in trying to find whatever silver linings we can and whatever positives we can. I think one of the positives we can take from this is we learning what kind of businesses going forward we want to work with as a city, as a community, and how important it is to have a good relationship with them. I don't mean to say that any foreign business we don't want to work with. I'm not talking about that, but more so, hey, if we can deal with a Wisconsin company, if we can deal with a Midwest company, the more the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talk about, it's the biggest challenge would be, if that was purchased and converted to something, or even let's say the mill switch was turned on again, there's just no workforce here.
Yeah.
And how does a company come in when there was 900 employees when they idled? We don't have, we probably don't even have half of that available to work.
And so when it comes to that, it's now, we're still going to need jobs and bringing in new businesses. And that is obviously another integral part of this process and covering that. Like, okay, well, we may not be able to bring in a business that can have all those jobs, but maybe we bring in enough businesses to cover some of those openings that are out there. And we've been seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, and that's a trickle in of population to fill jobs would be a good thing, instead of a large amount right away. Mm-hmm. It's something that our community can grow into.
Well said.
Would be, I think, something more workable.
And we've had some really nice progress when it comes to that. I think I know for a fact we've seen the old Shopko Mall getting filled, and anytime I drive past it, I feel like I'm seeing something new being built or worked on over there. I noticed that. Some businesses, whether it's A Street or other spots of town where there was an empty building, there's something there now. We're seeing a lot more of that. And any I think one business would be encouraging, let alone all that we have seen.
Yeah, I always say, you know, you look at the different new businesses on A Street or new buildings, and I just think that it's you know, we're giving A Street a facelift every time we build a new building there. And, you know, the new Pizza Hut that's going to go over across from Culver's there is going to give that a new look there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Noodles & Company, when they remodel the current Pizza Hut building, it's going to be a new look. And I think we keep freshening up A Street. That's a good thing for A Street. And I think it's good for the other businesses on A Street.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. And Shane, I wanted to get into the city budget with you a little bit. How is that developing? How is that looking?
So we recently, all the department heads submitted their budgets. The finance director, Tim, and I are working with the department heads, you know, having meetings going through their budget. We just out last night at council outlined or had given a schedule to the council members of when they're going to meet with the department heads. And so we're just kind of working through that process there. I saw a rough draft of everything put together, but, you know, the department's budgets and, you know, a lot of the budgets I saw were within reason. There's nothing really outlandish in these budgets. And I thought it was very responsible of the department heads to kind of take that approach. So there's not really large leaps and bounds and asking for the world and hoping to get something, you know. It was very reasonable.
Mm. So not a lot of headlines coming out of the conversation, not a lot of change or
no.
anything like that, which that's a great thing. That's good news.
Yeah, and I've never been since I've been here, been a big chasing shiny objects, so I've never had any big multi-million dollar nice things in the budget. You know, it's just, for me, it's about reasonableness. And our net new construction that relays into the budget does not allow for much tax levy increase, which is good for us taxpayers, but not good for the growth of the city to be able to, you know, manage budgets. But so once that gets all put together, we'll be having an initial meeting with the Common Council and kind of outlining that for them.
You know, I do these personable surveys all the time where I'm talking to listeners or I'm talking to people in the community, and whether they realize it or not, I'm gauging on how they feel on certain subjects. I'll ask a question, a trigger question, to kind of get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have really asked a lot since you've been in office is kind of that where you were going there a little bit with that. What are you looking for out of this current mayorship? What are you looking for out of your city? And so many people, they've had enough of the, quote, you know, kind of sexy thing, the water park or something like that. They are looking for not only sustainability, but for their the future of their community and what's going to keep that around, what's going to keep this city populated. And that's jobs, that's taking care of infrastructure, that's getting the city in the black, it's getting the city budget correct. And that is what you have been doing, sir. And so when I talk to people about this, it's kind of funny. You make my job hard. There's nothing. There's none of this low-hanging fruit. I can ask you some controversial question.
I'm waiting for it.
I know. I'm trying. I'm scraping the barrel here. I got nothing. It's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. But I bring all this up in part because not only to compliment you and your staff and the good work you guys have been doing, but wasn't this always the intention for you when you took this? You're not a career politician. This wasn't something that you were intended to do, even being mayor. So that was really the goal all along, wasn't it?
It absolutely right. This was not my intention. It was probably just a couple months before you could take out papers that I was like, maybe I should run for mayor. And here we are. And then the whole process was about, you know, trying to control spending or not large spending. You know, we have to spend as a community to grow, to improve our city. But, you know, little things can go a long ways, too. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to have a $500,000 price tag. So, yeah, it's kind of been my mantra since I started.
But and we're really that glad that you took the position that you ran for the position and got it, that you're in the position where you are right now. But for you personally, have you enjoyed this? Are you enjoying it, some of the process? Are you thankful that you have done this?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. It's you know, there's still some other mayors that are alive yet. And it's interesting because we kind of know each other's feelings and you know, the experience, because I always said, until you sit in that chair, you really don't understand. And I do enjoy working with the people, and I enjoy helping people wade through the process of dealing with City Hall and trying to bridge that. The thing I probably it's been hard to get used to is, A, I'm not a person that likes to be out front.
I'm just not
about the whole, I always say I got a face for radio. So I enjoy that. And I kind of enjoy that position. But I don't think I was prepared, and I'm still not hard to deal with, is the constant, you can never turn it off. You're a mayor 24/7.
Yeah.
I can go to graduation parties. I went to my class reunion. Mm-hmm. And that's all you talk about. And it's just like, I'm more than just mayor. There's so much more to me. And
I want to talk football, or something like that. They just want to talk about
the season. It's time to grow the beard and get going here. And that's probably been the hardest part, because I guess I look at it as a job, and I guess people look at it as like, oh, you're the mayor. And I'm like, I'm a part of the cog in a wheel, you know.
Right,
I don't look
right.
at myself like I'm the mayor.
It's for just, you, it's just a title.
And I always try to correct people if they call me mayor. People call me mayor all the time. Hey, mayor. And I go to the YMCA, hey, mayor. And it's just like, it's Shane, you know.
I'm just
the guy down the road, you know, and I grew up here. And
I honestly think we need more of that in politics. We need more people like yourself in politics, and more of that where it is not about you, it is about the job. That is refreshing. It's really nice to actually see.
Yeah, and so it's really, my whole goal was to be highly accessible. And so you call me, or you come in, or absolutely, I want to hear what's going on, or if you need help with a process. I love doing my coffees with the mayor at the Centralia Center every month, but it gets to be a lot at times. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa.
We don't get to mention, it can be exhausting, I can imagine. And it's all the more reason why we really appreciate you in the position that you are. You mentioned that, the coffee with the mayor at Centralia Center. We don't get a chance to touch on that very often. For those that don't know about that, can we tell them about it?
Yeah, so if you're a part of the Centralia Center in the newsletter, they'll always advertise when coffee with the mayor is. I believe it's like the second Tuesday of the month.
Yeah.
I'm there about 9:30 in the morning, 9:30 to 10:30, and I think last time I went till 11:30, because there was just an interested group with some concerns, and so I wanted to make sure we get them all down. But we do that every month. I just like to be accessible there, because there is a group of people there that spend a lot of time there, and I like to make myself available. But a lot of people know you can stop by or call, and I'll answer. I'll call you back. My goal is always to call back the same day. And
appreciate that.
So I enjoy that.
I appreciate you doing this too, sir. I am like a lot of people out there. I am a big, big fan of the Bill of Rights, of the Constitution. I think they're. I think that every American, but I can make the argument every human being should read it at least once or twice every couple years. Just familiarize yourself with it again. Remind yourself of what this is all about and what the importance of all of this and what's at stake in those things. I have been doing this since I was a kid. My grandfather got me in the habit, and every once in a while I'll still go back and do it and everything. And as long as the decades I've been doing this, I still come away from it and it hits me. I'm a big history fan, and I cannot but help but read that. And as I'm reading it, before I finish, thinking about America's history from beginning to end to where we are now, beginning to the current, to the present. The other day, on the 17th, you announced you proclaimed Constitution Day. What was the meaning for this, and why was this important to you?
So this started with some citizens requesting it. It's something that the city hadn't done, and I agree with you. I think our Constitution is very important, and making sure that on that day that we acknowledge our Constitution and what it means. You know, I think about it often myself, and the more that I sit in this role, I think about our founding fathers, and I like to watch history shows on it, and those type of things. And I always wonder, you know, would those founders be impressed with what we've done with the opportunity that they had given us, or would they be disappointed? And some days I think they'd be disappointed, and some days I think, well, okay, maybe there's chance, and some days I think our race won't survive. It's just, I don't know, you know, I struggle with, you know, if they would be impressed with it.
That's a very healthy question, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's one that we'll never get an answer to, but unless our society doesn't make it, then we'll know that we messed up.
Yeah, that That'd be a sign.
Exactly.
With this, too, I think of the kids, and I think of the youth and young people and how, you know, how important these days are. Why are we having a Constitution Day, mom, dad, teacher, and that teacher, mom, dad, being able to explain why it's so important, giving people an opportunity for those conversations. When we have these days of, I don't know if people always take that in. And I hope that even your average person is able to do that. If it's been a while since you looked at it, take a look at it. Yeah. That I have a hard time imagining that anybody can't be moved by reading it and re-familiarizing himself with it.
Even just the document alone and what it contains, but what they went through to get that document to that point. You know, everything that went on is, you know, it's hard because there's a demographic and an age group that is kind of like, it's out of sight, out of mind. Mm. But then there's a point in your life where you start to change and think about some of those bigger things, you know, beyond just your daily life. And if we can try to make people aware of it. But I appreciate it. And that's one of those things where citizens contacted me and said, hey, is this something you would consider doing? And absolutely, how can you not support the Constitution?
We're big believers in voting around here, so much so that we're even letting the community vote on the dog park day.
Yes.
That's how much we believe in voting around here. How's this going? I know I was going to say contest because I'm in radio, but the naming wrapped up yesterday. Did you guys get a good bunch of names? A bunch of votes. We have the three final names. Did you get a lot of votes for this?
There was.
Good, good.
There was
good
a
to
lot
hear.
Of votes. I can't remember the number offhand, 296, something like that.
Oh, excellent.
300, but yes, so we have a name, and I'm looking forward to announcing the name grand opening day. And
When is the grand opening day?
So we're shooting for October 11th, but it's not in stone.
Okay.
We'll get some information out. It'll probably be like 4:30-ish.
Very cool.
We'll have it at the dog park. And
Looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. I know that this was I don't want to say passion project, but I know this was a project that you cared about and a lot of your team cared about, and I know how much the community wanted this ever since we lost our last dog park. How good does it feel to be at this point where we're just, now we've even got a name, whether we know it or not, we've got a name set now. We're here.
Yeah, I was, you know, I agree with you. You know, this community had a dog park. People were excited about the dog park. They were appreciative of it, and then we lost it. And, you know, and for me, then it became something that we needed to get this done. We needed a dog park here. I'm glad the Park and Rec and the council and staff got behind it. And, you know, it's phenomenal location. I was out there yesterday again because just trying to make sure everything's getting wrapped up. They're going to do a little concrete work and get the water station in. And, the crew's out there working when they get some time, a little landscaping, and talked about, you know, where the sign would be erected. And, you know, so I'm excited about it because this is something I felt was important in the community. And the benefit of it is that the people that come and visited our community paid for it through room tax dollars. Mm-hmm. So the visitors that we bring in our community, stay in our VRBOs, in our motels and hotels, paid for this dog park for us to be able to enjoy.
That's so cool.
And that was an important part of it.
Yeah. It's one of those things you can't have. There's no pushback to something like this, especially when you add that part of it to it. And one of the things that we've noticed, if you're paying attention to the rise of populations in rural towns to big cities and all that, there are some themes. We've talked about this before. Being dog friendly, being animal friendly is one of them. The more of those things you can have, the more that you are more likely to keep your citizens or to bring new people in. It's not rocket science, some of this stuff. It's pretty, hey, do you have jobs? Do you have good schools? Do you got a dog park? I mean, these kind of things, this is stuff they're looking for.
Absolutely. And it's a big social aspect, you know. Dog owners like to hang out together, and this will be an opportunity. I look forward to seeing in the years to come how that place can grow, or, you know, add in shelters and picnic tables and some of those other amenities.
I was going to ask, while this is good and we haven't even opened it yet, so I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but are there other hopes and, hopes for the dog park?
I believe there's already kind of a group that our Park and Rec's working with that kind of, you know, I wanted to take it on being that we're going to be responsible for the mowing. We're going to be responsible for the way stations, cleaning up that, because sometimes those partnerships fall apart. And so I wanted to make sure the basics of the dog park are, we're going to take ownership of that. And then hopefully a group will come forward, whether they want to purchase agility equipment, do a fundraiser for something, maybe a pavilion or agility equipment. We've talked about doing some like purchasing of a memorial stones to memorialize your animal.
That's a good
and
idea.
Do some fundraising like that. And so that's kind of been the goal here, is that hopefully there will be a group take ownership of some of those extra amenities.
Yeah. We're looking forward to the naming of this. You can find out more at wirapids.org, and we'll certainly be talking about it on our shows when the park opens.
Yep.
In our last minute or two here, I did want to touch on one other thing with you, sir, the Downtown District Workshop. This is a cool idea.
Yeah, that's through our community development and Carrie and trying to sit down and have a discussion, and kind of, we'll be curious to see how that all kind of comes together.
It's an overview presentation, downtown walk, and visiting sessions that we're going to be able. That's going to be taking place at McMillan Memorial Library at their all-purpose room coming up next month on October 18th. I believe we'll be getting together before then, so we should have more time to talk about it. But just a really great way for, again, you and the community to engage with each other and conversate.
Yeah, and they're looking also to build on a kind of a downtown plan, and what do we envision the downtown looking like? Because when we have developers come to the town, they're always asking, well, what's your downtown plan? And you're like, well, we've got this 30-year-old thing, and here's the dust.
Here you go.
And so it's time to update that and help kind of like steer direction of maybe some things in the downtown, whether it be even changing streets or what people's thoughts are.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes, and already looking forward to talking again next month. As always, thank you so much for the time, sir. If people have follow-up questions, how can they get a hold of you?
Just call my office, 715-421-8202, or catch me at some public event.
And again, you can find out more at wirapids.org. Shane, you have a good day, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, James.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. We've enjoyed some mild winters lately, and we're not the only ones. If you've been noticing more spiders in your home or business, it's due to milder winter weather we've been experiencing. The deep, cold nights of winter is what kills them off during the cold months. With mild weather, we can expect more spiders and bugs to survive, producing a bumper crop come spring. You can protect your home with natural products like cinnamon, vinegar, and peppermint oils to repel them from entering. If you have a serious issue, you may need to bring in the professionals. The Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater main stage production is opening soon. Tickets are on sale now for Blithe Spirit. This quick-witted, clever comedy will entertain and haunt you. You can purchase tickets now at wrctheater.org or by calling the box office at 715-421-0435. Shows begin October 6th. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 57. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 81. Mainly clear. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Two. Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 20th, 2023. You have your host, James J. here, and we are joined right now by a couple of our great friends from the Wood County Health Department. Let's welcome in Ashley Normington. Ashley, good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. And Mackenzie. No, I'm joking. That's an inside joke for everybody. Elise, thanks for being here. I did it again, didn't I? Please say your name.
Alyssa Gallen.
Alyssa. Why am I doing that? Alyssa Gallen, thank you very much for joining us. In my defense, this is the first time we've met.
Yes.
In your defense and the audience's, I would have messed it up even if we like knew each other like three times already. I'm bad with names.
That's okay. You miss me all the time.
I'll get it eventually, especially the more we talk. And we're going to be talking more because you are going to be taking over a program. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, Ashley, if you don't mind, let's talk about what you guys are joining us here for today. The Wisconsin WINS program, the PATCH program.
program, Wisconsin Wins and the Patch mm-hmm. program. For those that don't know, what are these programs?
Yeah, I'll start with the Wisconsin Wins program. Mm-hmm. That is our statewide tobacco compliance check program. So there's more to the program than just compliance checks, but it really focuses on keeping nicotine and tobacco products out of the hands of youth. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing that we're focused on with our tobacco and nicotine efforts. And I'm actually going to let Alyssa talk about the Patch program a little more because that is her expertise.
Yeah, Alyssa.
Yeah, so the PATCH program, the PATCH stands for Providers and Teens Communicating for Health. And this year we have 8 community teens that are trained as teen educators, and they put on workshops in local schools and other provider-type situations, and they are trained by me, and they are ready to go, and we are looking for places to put on these workshops.
How are the, in your time doing this, how are the kids responding to this program?
They really enjoy it. They are being heard. They feel like I'm listening and the providers are listening to them and they have a voice, which they have been needing.
I remember, because I don't have a lot of retail experience, but some years back, I worked at a gas station for a couple of years. It was like 5 or 7 years ago, somewhere around there. And one of the things they early on had me learn was how important it is to check IDs. And certainly for people that I wasn't sure of, but even if I felt like I was 100% sure, that it may be even more so to check that person, because it's the ones that you think you know that tend to kind of skate by sometimes. And sure enough, it wasn't a month or so into the job, I have somebody come in. It seemed fishy to me. Didn't like it. So I challenged them on their ID and their age, and they weren't able to purchase anything. And then 5-10 minutes later, I had somebody come in and give me a card telling me I did a good job. And I can tell you the pride I felt in that. But I didn't know that was what was going on, that was happening. And this is part of the, I don't know if that was a part of this program, but it was one of those things that really stood out to me about the work that's being done on this front and how important it is. Now, that was, like I said, 7-8 years ago or whatever. In that short amount of time, the game has changed quite a bit. For one, I would think on a positive side, regardless of how you feel about the topic, what we're talking about here, I think a positive. As a former smoker, I will say, I think a positive. We have seen so many cigarettes that aren't even for sale anymore. They're just gone. They're done. Which in my lifetime, I never thought I was going to see that day. So that's a positive, I think. On the other side of it, you have vaping, you have a lot more, I don't want to say options, but a lot more temptations for kids out there. In fact, it may even be, in some scenarios, worse than it was before, where now you had your Marlboros and Camels and those things. Now you've got fruity flavors and these things, and so much of it that, whether they're saying it or not, I'll say it, they're marketing towards younger people. So with that challenge there, with all of that going on, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges when it comes to this subject and facing it? And if you don't mind, I'll start with you, Ashley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can say your name. No, I'm joking.
That's always a positive thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the game has definitely changed over the years. So we've definitely seen those smoking rates come down. We know that youth are more likely to start using substances in adolescence. So typically between the ages of 13 and 17, even, you know, into young adulthood, into their early 20 years, they're more likely to try substances. And unfortunately, that's the time in their life when their brain is more likely to become addicted to that substance and become dependent on those substances. So we've worked really hard over the years to get like Wisconsin Smoke-Free Air passed, for example. And that actually is a huge benefit to make sure people aren't, you know, around people who are smoking all the time. You're not seeing it. It's not in your face as much. So that was one positive thing that came in more recent years. Another big thing was as you mentioned, with vaping. We saw the trends going down with smoking conventional cigarettes for years and years, and all of a sudden vaping comes along, and now we have a vaping epidemic with youth who are doing it at school. Teachers don't even know they're doing it. They have hidden vapes and concealed vapes that, you know, you could have a concealed vape in your sweatshirt or on your backpack or on your watch that you can just be vaping in class or in the bathroom and no one knows any different because it smells fruity or it smells like a candy and it's just really hard to detect. So that's really thrown a curve in our response as well. So things have had to change over the years.
How have you guys adapted to that?
Yeah, so it's been a lot of just getting information out there about the harms of vaping, because even with a lot of parents, their assumption was, well, it's just water vapor. And we know that's not the case. We don't know all of the long-term effects because it's so new, but what we do know is that there are a lot of harms that come from this. And just from people who I have interacted with that have that personal lived experience, who have gone from smoking to switching to vaping, and now they're trying to quit vaping, I'm just hearing, like, it's really hard to quit vaping because with vaping, it's like you can do it whenever you want. You don't have to finish a whole cigarette. It's just a few puffs here and there. And those nicotine salts act so differently. They're much smoother. They're not as harsh on your throat as your commercial tobacco cigarettes. Mm. So it's just a whole new ballgame with this. And we've just had to take a little bit different approach to make sure that, especially with this Wisconsin Wins program, that we're reminding retailers their part in this community effort. You know, they play a vital role in keeping these products out of the wrong hands. We try to provide free trainings for them and free resources to give them more confidence when they are checking those IDs and refusing a sale to a minor.
I think one of the encouraging things that I think has happened in society when it comes to this subject, from when I was a kid to now, especially back then, a retailer, their responsibility ended with really just having the product in their store, who they sold it to or whatever. They were able to kind of just, a lot of the time, take a hands-off approach. I can't help it. My job is just to sell this. Right. I'm just a middleman, that kind of thing. Those days are gone. Right. You don't have that excuse anymore. The information, not only is the information out there, but there are laws, there is accountability you have now. And that's certainly a positive. When it comes to this, though, it's an interesting topic, and I'm really glad you touched on some of the science behind this, because I think that's one of the things that has been beneficial when it comes to vaping for people to either stop or to be more at least aware of the topic and how dangerous it can be, how easy it is for people to fall into. Growing up, I grew up around addiction. My father was an addict for the majority of my life. Last 20-some years, been clean and sober and doing great. But with that experience, I've grown up around a lot of addicts, and I still talk with many of them. And one of my friends, I'm so proud of, was able to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. Part of how he stopped was falling into cigarettes, which isn't a good thing. Trading one for another is certainly not a good thing. But he thought, well, this is going to improve. This is going to help. You know, I won't be doing this anymore. I'll be doing this. And I'll stop this eventually. And so he does. I want to say 2 years he smoked cigarettes. And then he stopped. And I was talking to him about it. And now he's vaping, because he went from nicotine to vaping, thinking that would be better for him. And now he's struggling with, this is so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes back to one of the things that I heard from people that made it hard to quit nicotine was the accessibility, that you go outside and it's so accessible, it's somewhere, anywhere. Vaping, it seems like two times that as far as the accessibility part. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the retailer's responsibility on this, do you think going forward there could be more put on them or not? And this is just an opinion. I'm not asking to say, you know, what you guys necessarily think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But do you think that it could happen, that there could be even more put on retailers as far as their responsibility when it comes to selling these products?
It very well could. We just want to make sure that retailers understand we're here as a resource for them. We want to make sure that they are being successful in following the state and federal laws, because our state law actually does not match the federal law for tobacco. Mm. So in the end of 2019, when President Trump was in office, he passed the federal Tobacco 21 law. And that actually supersedes state laws. So all states had to then follow the Tobacco 21 law. Mm. That got really confusing, because our state still has not updated our tobacco law to be 21 and older, it just gets super confusing because we have retailers saying, well, our state law still says 18, so I'm going to sell to people 18 and older. And so that's where we have to come in and say, well, we can still get a citation if you choose to sell to an individual who is under the age of 21. So that also made it very confusing. We're trying really hard not to take a punitive approach. We don't necessarily want to threaten people with citations, but it is a real possibility. So we actually do have very strong partnerships with our local law enforcement agencies, and they've been great at just, you know, turning to us as the experts when it comes to knowing like when retailers have sold in the past, if they've sent their employees through trainings, like what have we been experiencing with this particular retailer. And we also look to them to say, hey, have you heard of any retailers who may be selling products to youth, because we can check them. So it's been a really positive partnership with our law enforcement agencies, and they've been good to work with.
Do you think that when it comes to that part of it, working with law enforcement and that, do you think it's been, because it seems like to me the program has been benefited by not so much coming in to punish people, but to assist, to be a partner in it more. And if accountability needs to be had, you as you mentioned there, there are citations, there are things that law can do, but the programs themselves want to be a helper, want to be an asset more than a punisher. It comes across as, is that the case that you two have seen?
Yeah, the more that we meet with law enforcement and talk to them more about it, the more they seem very much on board with this as well. So they really appreciate getting the information from our perspective as well. So it's been great to work with them on that.
Alyssa. Did I say Alyssa? I said Alyssa. Alyssa, again. Dang it. I thought, and I was so confident I said it right that time. I apologize. What are your hopes for the future of this program as you're taking over?
My hope is that we can do these compliance checks with the retailers and they all just pass the first time. I think that that would be a really great goal. I know we're not that far off from that. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
Alyssa's been doing great, actually, with doing a lot of our outreach activities, which is also a part of the Wisconsin Wins program. So we are required to do a certain number of public outreaches as well as media outreach, which this is a great opportunity to do a media outreach for the program, just to make sure the public knows about the program and the great things that we're doing. So Alyssa's been doing great, reaching out to retailers through letters, sending them signage so that they know it has to be 21 or older to sell these products. And not just, you know, your tobacco products. Not all smoke shops and vape shops have to have a tobacco license. So if they're selling vapes and nicotine products only, they actually don't have to have that tobacco license, but we can still check them through this program to make sure they are in compliance and selling to only 21 and older.
Alyssa, is there something coming into the job that you didn't know that you were surprised by, or something that has been, you think is very noteworthy that maybe the audience doesn't know as well?
I think coming into this, for me, I completely forgot about the Tobacco 21. I was like, oh yeah, it is 21 now. And I think that maybe there's others out there that are like me too, because it's not something that's talked about all the time. So I think that was one of the things I was like, oh yeah, totally forgot about that.
Appreciate that, and appreciate the time and putting up with me. Thank you very much for that last part. I want to talk about the patch program. I want to get into this a little bit too. And first off, Ashley, if you wouldn't mind, what is the patch program?
Yeah, so as Alyssa mentioned, Providers and Teens Communicating for Health, it's really to empower teens in our local school districts to feel like they are in charge of their own healthcare rights. They are aware of them and they're sharing that information, because even our local providers don't always know that teens have healthcare rights. So that's a big thing that Alyssa's been doing great on, making sure the teens that we're working with as our teen educators are really well trained and well versed, and sharing that information with others.
Yeah, Alyssa, I'm curious, when it comes to when you were young, how familiar were you with some of these things, with the, your teen health laws and that, and understanding your own what you had power of or and what you didn't?
Yeah, I came into this not knowing that teens had rights. When I was younger, I remember going to appointments and to see a doctor and being asked, "Where's your parent?" You need to have your parent with you for everything. So knowing that they're encouraged to have time alone with a provider to talk about things that they might not want to talk about with their parent in the room. And I think that's important because that's how you get the best healthcare you can get.
Yeah. When as long ago as it may seem for some of us, I'm just speaking for myself, we were all teenagers. We were all in this spot. And thankfully, we're in a day and age now where we are putting so much more control and power and all that to the places it needs to be where it wasn't before. And so many of the voiceless now have a voice. And there's a lot of great that comes with that. There's also a lot to take in. And when you're young and you're already, your main job is to learn, basically, as a young person, whether it's in school or just your day-to-day life. Here's one more thing for you to learn. Have you found that the kids are getting this, that it's registering for them, it's clicking this information and understanding this going forward for them?
I think so. They're excited Good. About it. They're excited about having their voices be heard by their providers and who they put their trust into. They wanted to be heard. They want to be seen.
When it comes to mental health, I feel like we did a really good job with this coming out of the pandemic, opening up, talking about this. We're not talking in hushed voices anymore. We're not letting the mental health issue be something that we're afraid to talk about or anything. We're getting much better as a society bringing this up and talking about it in a raised voice. But I do think that the work now begins on the personal mental health battle and journey. We've accepted it as a society. Now we got to accept it ourselves because I just speaking for myself, I am a professional at telling other people, you should drink more water. You should take a nap more. James, what are you doing? I don't want to talk about that. That's not important to the subject. I got to take my own medicine. I got to get better at doing that myself. With that being said, how does this program, you think, benefit the youth going forward when it comes to their mental health and talking about it, being able to express those feelings?
Yeah, they are very passionate about mental health. I've noticed just from talking about them, they want to be open about it. They want it to not be such a stigma anymore. They want to get the help. They want everyone to get the help that they want and they need, and it's important, and they know that it's important.
Do you think the kids in youth understanding, feeling more comfortable with these things is only going to benefit adults and parents with it? I could see that the one bleeding into the other. I could see that if I'm as a parent, and I'm thinking my kids are in their 20s, but I think about even when they come to me with stuff now, sometimes I feel more comfortable getting into a subject matter that they encourage. Can we see more of that conversation happening, you think, with young and old, with parent and child?
Absolutely, I think so. I think when you're more open with your parents, you can get the help that you need. And even with my own kids, they have an issue, I want to talk about it. I want to be there for them. I want to get them the best help that they can get. And having that conversation is really important, and I think a lot of more teens are realizing how important that is.
Yeah, I don't think you hear a lot of parents say, I don't want to know. you want to know
Sometimes.
These things. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are certain subjects, absolutely. But it's such a great point you make there, because I think that while we feel like sometimes as parents, we know our kids and we know what they're up to or any of that. Again, we were all teenagers and we know that we got away with stuff that our parents still don't know about maybe. It's important to have that open dialogue, have that conversation. And I've never heard a parent say, well, when my kid becomes an adult, my job's done, or I don't want them to be able to come to me. In some scenarios, you're needed even more as a parent sometimes when they become an adult and as they get older. Some of this conversation that can be had, it can only benefit that future selves in that. Mm-hmm. Another part of this that stood out to me when I was reading about the program the other night that I thought was really encouraging is young people getting more and more familiar as they get older with their own body, their own mental health, the laws that they have in place for them, all the above. We back in the day, we used to learn how to do a checkbook in like grade school or junior high, and then we stopped needing that. But it was important because, well, one day you're going to be an adult and you're going to have to fill out a checkbook. This kind of stuff speaks to me like that. It speaks to me in the way of like, well, the more they understand about
the things that they have in their control, the better they're going to feel as adults when they're looking into insurance or any of these things. It seems to have another ad benefit as well to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will just say as an adult now, we didn't talk about a lot of the mental health growing up. So as you were talking about, you know, the checkbook reference, that may not be as big of a thing today necessarily, but growing up and not talking about mental health, not understanding what that means, and that everyone has their own mental health, whether it be a severe issue that can be diagnosable or just not feeling great. It's okay not to feel great. Mm-hmm. And having your child even model that they are being open and talking about this, that can be a huge relief for a parent, especially, you know, we live in a very rural, conservative area. Central mm-hmm. Wisconsin tends to be more conservative, mm-hmm. and people don't want to talk about mental health.
Yeah,
that's part of the stigma. But at the same time, seeing other people be more open and saying, yeah, I just am not doing well right now, it kind of opens that door for other people to say, you know what? I should probably take a look at myself and realize I'm not doing well either. Mm-hmm. And understanding there are things we can do in some instances to improve our mental health and well-being mm-hmm. and take care of ourselves. We talk a lot about self-care. So that's something that we really want to make sure our Patch teens know about as well. And they're sharing with their peers and other adults that they're working with, so that other students in our local schools feel empowered to do the same.
Kids are, their brains are sponges, and they're soaking up all this. They're taking all this in. So even before they are teens, when it comes to this subject, it's really important how you carry yourselves as adults. It's very important how you're touching on the subject when you're talking with friends. I bring this up mainly when it comes to domestic violence, that those jokes that you and your boys make, there's kids hearing those. Those jokes, you may think that it's just between you and your buddies, but there's other people that hear that stuff and they think that's okay. It's so important going forward we stop that stuff, or we call each other, as guys, we call each other out on those things. This subject is not that different. If you are a smoker, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about being a smoker. That's your business. It's your body. But it doesn't end with you. It is important that when we're touching on that subject to other adults and everything, whether there's a kid around or not, it doesn't matter. There's a kid around, you may not realize it. That's kids. That's how they are. You think there's nobody in the room, and 2 seconds later, they're right there. It's important how you carry yourself in these conversations going forward, because they're, again, sponges, and they're picking up on this stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to police anyone necessarily. Like you said, they're adults. They can make decisions about their own bodies. But really, instead of calling people out about this, let's call them in. Say, hey, is there anything we can do to help you? You know, like, do you want to talk about this? Can I support you in any way? So I think that's a big part as well with both of the programs, not only for tobacco use or nicotine use, but also for the Patch program. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we didn't get a chance to touch on you guys wanted to make sure we covered? Did we get it all? We did it?
I think we could. All right.
All right. Yeah. So we can spend the next half an hour me just practicing your name and making sure I get it right. Because the next time we have Rebecca on with us, I'm joking. Ashley, Alyssa, thank you very much for joining us today. Really do appreciate the time, and very much appreciate you guys and your team over there at the health department, everything you're doing for our community. Keep up the great work. Stay safe out there. And looking forward to talking again real soon.
Thanks for inviting us, James.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about what we've touched on today, how can they reach each of you?
Yeah, they should call the main line at the health department. The number is 715-421-8911. If they want to be a part of any community efforts, our office staff there can direct them to the right person.
And your contact?
It's the same. I'm in the same office, so cool. If anyone needs to contact me, contact the health department.
Makes it easy. Just get the A name right. That's all. Just get that right. I'll be working on that in the break. But thank you both very much again for the time. You can find out more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A big three automakers making cuts now during union strikes. WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert's in Detroit.
No car production means fewer of the parts that go into vehicles. 68 workers on layoff at Toledo Machining. 300 will soon be on layoff at transmission and casting plants in Kokomo, Indiana.
Meantime, Ford's made temporary layoffs. GM idled a plant in Kansas. In Hollywood, writers are still fighting for better pay as their union returns to the bargaining table with studios.
We are tired. People need money. People are really, really struggling. But everybody understands that we have to be in this fight until we actually get a fair deal, because that's what's actually going to make a future for all of us.
Writers have been on strike there since May. The Federal Reserve made no change to its key interest rate today. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
Recent readings on consumer spending have been particularly robust. Activity in the housing sector has picked up somewhat, though it remains well below levels of a year ago, largely reflecting higher mortgage rates.
One more hike is expected by the end of the year. House Republicans are grilling Attorney General Merrick Garland today on Capitol Hill. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee have been critical of the Department of Justice and Attorney General Garland. And Chairman Jim Jordan certainly didn't back down as he accused the department of two systems of justice.
There's one investigation protecting President Biden. There's another one attacking President Trump.
Nothing, said Merrick Garland, could be further from the truth.
We apply the same laws to everyone.
The hearing follows indictments against Hunter Biden and former President Trump and ahead of an impeachment inquiry next week into President Biden. Secretary of State Antony Blinken addressed the UN today about Russia.
Russia is committing war crimes and crimes against humanity in Ukraine on an almost daily basis.
Ukraine's President Zelensky denounced Russia as a terror state. The number of babies born with syphilis in one state in the South is spiking. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
There's been the largest spike in congenital syphilis in Mississippi between 2016 and last year.